Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Welcome back. We are excited today to have some really good friends that are like family to us, that have served with us in different locations here in South Asia. And we've seen just grow, take on responsibility and leadership, and be great examples and leaders to others as well. So Craig and Danielle, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you guys. Here. This is awesome. Been looking forward to this. Craig, I know you have been looking forward to this for a long time.
Being on our podcast.
Yeah. No, this is a life goal for both of you. So we're happy to provide that today for you guys.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Craig and Danielle have been on the field for over 10 years now. Three awesome, rowdy, rambunctious kids as well that are currently upstairs playing with our kids. But we're going to talk today about empowering women on our teams to do good work with the core missionary task. One of the reasons why we're excited to have you guys is y'all have a proven track record of doing that. So many ladies that have come onto your teams, launched on to other teams as well over the years, launched back into fruitful ministry in the States as well after serving with you guys. So just want to hear some of your perspective, what the Lord has done through our time together. Okay?
Okay. So I know the four of us are very like-minded on this topic. We are all convinced that women being empowered to do all that God wants to do through them is so important and essential for the success of our work and the mission. We want lost women to hear the gospel. We want every single believing woman to be fully empowered to make disciples. So having that agreed between us and knowing the Bible is the pattern that we're looking towards, let's start by just talking through what are some of the unique challenges to equipping and empowering women. And you can talk about Western women teammates and also South Asian women. The four of us live and serve in South Asia. So parts of this will be specific to South Asia, but it will also, I think, benefit people wherever they're serving.
Sounds good. I would like to just say thank you for those sweet accolades, but we will also by no means say that we're experts in this, but we have, by God's grace, been able to learn, even learn through mistakes, and are still desiring to keep learning about this topic. And we think it's an important topic in a country that has 1.3 billion people. One thing is for sure is that there are a lot of women present.
That's right,
so
yeah.
That is why it is it's our responsibility, I think, to help raise up more co-workers, nationals, and expats to help pursue this vision of God's as we see done in the Bible as well. So with that, there are challenges. I would say in cultural challenges here, things that we see is it's a patriarchal society. So men are kind of the doorkeepers and that just is how it is. And so we kind of have to wait for there to be that open door invite or connection piece for that to, for things to start flowing there. There's, for women here, there's just less educational opportunities that sometimes can affect, you know, their learning and the process of that. Honestly, they have less time and availability. They have a lot of high expectations, whether it's individually or the pressure of the community in their homes, of responsibilities that they have to take care of. Yeah, so those things can kind of make it feel like we have limited access to women. So that can be a challenge, I would say.
Yeah, so with that, I mean, just having Westerners received onto our team, it's a matter of recognizing the cultural differences and seeing through the obstacles and the challenges and actually being able to see the opportunities that are in there, mixed in there. So it's kind of that cultural understanding, bridging the gap of we're not just arriving in a culture that they're familiar to and we cannot do ministry the same way. And not letting that be too much of an obstacle.
Yeah.
It's recognizing, okay, how are things going to be different? And how can we maximize on the opportunities? What are the new windows of time that we can do ministry? Right. What are the ways that we can empower women in ways that they maybe aren't? Or what are the ways that we can come alongside of even established ministries, men in ministries, and equip them to equip their wives or equip their ladies? So it's kind of just seeing the cultural differences and not being intimidated too much by them. And looking for the opportunities in them and moving forward in them.
That's good. I feel like you guys over the years have done such a good job of helping people coming from the States, ladies coming from the States, kind of bridge that gap. That I think some of it is just getting out in the midst of culture and building relationships that they themselves are doing. So it's not 100% just the coaching that you all do, but I feel like you give a lot of context, background, coaching, modeling. I know as well, just the way that you all open your homes, South Asians are there all the time. Just for the ladies maybe who came from a fairly like successful ministry background in the States, for them to bridge that gap and then be goal-directed in that way that, hey, we're going to equip women over here, but it's just going to look a bit differently. What are some of the practical ways you feel like you've helped ladies bridge that gap?
One of the practices we do is just by inviting them first to come along, whether that's they're coming along with me or whether that's they're doing 2x2 going along with Craig or Craig's got a guy and they're going along with the guys just to network, to see it modeled and having that exposure to first the culture, even seeing it in the room themselves. And then from that, bringing them and platforming them so that they can have an opportunity, but they can ask questions in between in the travel time, exposing them, bringing them along, and then inviting them to ask questions so that we can coach and answer those questions.
That's good.
Also, what I would add there is it's good to just talk about the challenges and get them out there.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and sometimes we've learned not to generalize, especially singles, too much because sometimes if we think that's going to be an obstacle because our last teammate saw that as an obstacle, doesn't mean the next single that comes along is going to see that as an obstacle.
That's good. Yeah.
So we talk about some of the general challenges, but we also don't generalize the individual because they're going to be able to overcome some things like getting out in the evening time maybe that could be intimidating for one but wouldn't be for another, or there's new dynamics of teammates there that they can do things together or so things like that. We just kind of talk about it. We talk about the vision and get it out there and
that's great
and help them just identify the obstacles and then we can problem solve from there.
That's good.
I think that's one of the things women want the most. Is to sit around and brainstorm together. Because so many women feel like, I'll speak for our Western coworkers. How do I get more female national partners? Women aren't available. Or my partners can't commit. That is such a common struggle. And I think there's a sense of encouragement that it's a common struggle to just like, recognize it. Many, many of our coworkers wish they had more female national partners. It's not like we're trying to choose who's the best person to work with. We're trying to find people who have time. And I think recognizing the cultural challenges with a sense of compassion because women don't have as much independence as we do. And they have such home responsibilities. Like if something happens at home, they have no choice. They got to stay home. It doesn't matter that we had something planned, you know. And just to have that compassion and recognize it. A lot of times our male partners, sometimes we can get almost like a longer track record with them, I think. But sometimes with women, something changes in their life and all of a sudden they're not available.
It's true.
You know, I think it's encouraging to talk through that and brainstorm.
I'd say one of the best practices we found with kind of transitioning to looking at our female national partners or wives of our national partners that I'm primarily working with is to keep them in the loop as much as we can.
And
we have guys and girls chat groups that we have. I mean, it's not just me talking with the guys. We actually try to keep everything planning-wise so that the ladies see that. We do as much as we can. Maybe once or twice a year, we'll do big family meetings. Danielle also does, you know, monthly calls with some of these same partners that I'm working with. If she can't see them in person, she's scheduling monthly calls or even weekly calls. We do a lot together as much as we can with these partners. So it's important to keep them in the loop and give them the same levels of training. You know, I know you guys have talked about that with other podcasts, how important it is for us to train everybody in some of the same things, every member ministry mentality. And the more we can keep, especially some of our key leaders, doing the work together with their key women, that I think the work continues to grow healthy because of that.
Especially if the male leader believes that. Right? If he's there, then he's going to start recognizing women can easily get lost in the background or not be fully engaged or really learning the tools unless you give it a little extra effort because they're also taking care of a baby or because they haven't had as much education or they're not confident speaking up in a group setting,
Exactly.
And just giving them that extra intentionality and opportunity.
We agree that if we can have everybody in the same room, that's the best way to go and let everybody hear everything at the same time. But there also were, was a season where we identified the women were behind, like the men had already been running and learning and practicing and implementing tools, but the women had not. So we just saw that as an opportunity to, hey, let's pull them aside and help them, like you said, build the confidence, push away any fear of just even standing in front of somebody and training somebody or teaching them or internalizing them without the other factor of like there's other people in this room that maybe culturally it would take them a minute. So that has been helpful. And with that, what was really a blessing for us is being able to have singles do this with marrieds, specifically when it's not within your same city and you have to travel.
Yeah.
Because there's that limitation for me as a wife and as a mom that I can't travel as much, but I get to go and model both for my teammates as well as for these other wives that, hey, I can make a plan with my husband. I can entrust the kids to him and I can travel for a few days. And then with that, they're seeing, hey, women who are married and with kids can do this. And then with the single, there's other single ladies in that group as well. And they're saying it's not for one or the other, but together it's better. And so they get to see that happening and unfolding. And maybe I can't be there every single week or month, but that's the beauty of the consistency that a single can provide. And I can join in whenever I can. That helps them see it modeled, helps them grow in the confidence, helps them be more on board, not because we want to pull them away, but just for a season, help them get to a place where they would be better supported and on board with where the men are.
That's good. I feel like, again, just watching sometimes up close, but from afar as well, y'all have done such a good job of that over the years of just bringing people along and exposing them to the work from the beginning and then helping them figure it out along the way. And just the way that you guys lead out, even as a family, and doing that has been really encouraging.
Maybe let's talk a bit more about what you would consider best practices. Share anything that you have learned over the years as a male team leader to encourage and empower single Western women on my team, or maybe busy, sometimes stressed out moms on my team, you know, who are trying to do ministry and motherhood.
One of the best practices we found as a family rhythm is a few years ago, we transitioned out of the seemingly always having a baby in the home, and we were raising children. And we realized that it was really important for Danielle to be connected to our work. Because she's equally called to this work as much as I am. And we saw ourselves called together. So we started making a family rule that no more than 6 weeks would go by before Danielle would be with some of the partners that I was working with and their wives and seeing the work that I was seeing. Because at that time, I was traveling a lot. It required us logistically planning. So us just making a rule that we were not going to let too much time go by before Danielle was going to be in the work that I'm typically doing. We didn't really plan it to be like a modeling thing for our national partners, but it was greatly encouraging to them. And they were challenged to also do similar things on chuties or holidays in our context, and to just plan around times when they can, according to their calendar, do work together. So it became a kind of a rule that was a best practice, that was a modeling thing that really impacted a lot of our partners in the work. So that gave Danielle not only the opportunity to have involvement in the work, but it gave her voice with some of my national partners. And she was, before I knew it, speaking into opportunities to challenge them to see their wives as some of the leaders that they need to be investing in. We use terminology to talk about Timothys and things like that. We'll see your wife as one of your potential like leaders.
Timothyettes.
Timothyettes, right. Exactly. I'm trying to think of a female version of that. So, you know, we use different language. We don't actually use Timothy language, but to see them as your core leaders, that you're investing in them. And so that's been a really good thing for us.
That's good.
So to help listeners imagine that, that's like you and a single teammate going on a train. How are you traveling?
Yes. For these places that are a little bit further to reach where our main partners are, we would do the overnight train. And again, the single had traveled with Craig a whole lot more on the train with either she brought another female partner or he had somebody with him. But she had at least had figured out the ropes, so I was just packing my bag and going with her, and we'd get picked up in a taxi by a partner and taken another few hours from there, staying out in the village with them. But, I mean, there's some great memories that
And it took me staying home 2 or 3 days with the kids. And so the thing we joked about afterwards was how we knew how to pray for each other better.
100%.
When we were, when we were on, in our regular rhythms, because she knew what the challenges of eating 3 days on the road looks like and not sleeping very good and coming back tired.
We're preparing, like thinking through this in a different language and the time investment that it takes to actually prepare to teach.
And I learned how exhausted Danielle could feel after 3 days of just staying home with the kids, in air quotes.
For sure.
So it gave each other a perspective. and yeah. and how we could, we're actually doing this as a team so we yeah. can understand each other better.
Yeah. And your kids learned what it's like to eat eggs every meal for three days, right?
Yeah, that. And toast. Cereal, toast.
Eggs and cereal order toast. In. Or order in, yeah. Pizza, Domino's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so I want to just highlight two things. I think one is, I don't know about you, Danielle, but I want to know that when I'm doing ministry, it's because Jesse wants me doing it. Like, he believes it's valuable. He's not just saying, okay, I'll let you, but he's like, this is what is important for the work.
Yeah.
And so I think that teamwork and, like, coming to that decision together is so good, and it's a blessing for the wife in that situation. Mm-hmm. And the other is, we have men and women leading our teams. But for me, it's important that women on my team have an opportunity to have Jesse model for them, not just me. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're talking about sometimes women going with Craig. And so just to kind of talk about the awkwardness that you have to work through, right? We can't just say, okay, we don't want men to ever be alone with women. So that's just not even an option for us.
Yeah.
We find ways around it.
Right.
Yeah. We invite two or three people to go so that they get that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, our women are not getting all the mentoring that they should.
Mm. Yeah. I think that that was an instrumental part of when I got past the season of being kind of tied down to being home or restricted to, like, less travel with kiddos, is it was a combination of Craig coming behind me and saying, hey, they need your voice. And even a single coming and saying, hey, I would love for you to come and just model this for me. I mean, I knew it in my head, but I needed it in my heart to hear that. And so that kind of pushed me. And with that, like, best practices of just a woman on the field, I felt like was just remembering, like, we're called here, but you first start by being a learner. And so I was like, I mean, I challenged the other national partners to see your wives as your disciple or as your leader that you're investing in, answer their questions. And I came to Craig with all my questions of, okay, you've been doing this and I've like seen it, but not practically had as much experience. So I would just ask questions, but try something. Like, be a learner and try something. It's like the first thing, no matter who you are, what season of life or what nationality you are, just go and learn and try something. And then if you're coming new to the field, look for somebody to bring along. Obviously, it's ideal if you can have a national sister. And like you said, so many women are wishing they had more access. But don't give up. It's worth the fight of, like, hey, how can I find that person? Whether it's, I'm going to visit these fellowships, these local fellowships that are here, and try to connect to the women. Or is it that I'll just be out and during EV, maybe the Lord will bring somebody to faith, and then I'll get to disciple them and into this process as well. So, I mean, there's just different ways to do that. But yeah, being a learner and just trying something, bringing somebody along, I think those things are really important. Mm-hmm. But then go along as often as you can, whether it's with your leader or with your husband, so that you can have that face-to-face interaction with both the men and the women.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, before we realized it, we didn't even think about the fact that me being present was something they were like, well, that's different.
Yeah.
You just packed up your whole family. That's different, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then just being around them and investing in them did give me a voice to say that to them where they heard it, you know? And so building that relationship capital, I think, was really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would say there's even some times where we just had to recognize we were going to extend even more budget to things like this, where we're going to pay for a taxi we really felt good about with some of our ladies or a trusted national rather than going the maybe cheap route that I would typically go, which is the local transportation. Things like are, we have to factor in opportunity cost that we're willing to spend to mobilize folks and keep them safe or make them feel like this is a situation that I can continue to thrive in.
Yeah.
So there's times like that where we just had to be okay with, for a season, doing things a little bit different.
Yeah.
Maybe even logistically a little more challenging, but it was worth it in the long run to to mobilize our people.
I like that. I just heard a best practice of putting the women in way better hotels than the men. Purposefully.
How about that? That's good. Yeah.
That was not in my notes, but that sounds great.
It's definitely a takeaway for Shaney on this one. Good job. Yeah. I think you just mentioned it, Craig, but the relationship that's built through all of this is such a key, just all the way around, right? That this goes beyond like training relationships. This goes beyond teaming. It's more and more like family. And knowing the people that you're talking about in most cases, seeing that reality lived out in y'all's lives over the past few years, and just the investment in the relationship, you know, that time that you get to spend together, whether you're traveling or doing the training, staying in, you know, maybe a not so nice hotel together, or out in the village or something. That's just all relationship building time. So this is the best practice I'm going to impute to you because I've already seen it in your lives and you may not have put it in your notes. Don't sweat too much, Danielle. This is close to the surface for the eggs. But just the practice of like fun with your partners and with your teammates, that family that we're talking about in the context of building relationship. We just did a family retreat, the network that we train with. We had about 30 couples or so come in. And I had to convince our main national partner, like, hey, we need to schedule some games.
Yeah.
This dude was ready to go, like, morning to evening, nothing but seminar after seminar.
Yeah, when
right?
we say morning to evening, we mean 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Literally, yeah.
yeah.
We stopped for, you know, food and whatnot in the midst of that. But he was ready to do it. And so I worked to get an hour squeaked out to do some games. And it was awesome.
It was like one of the highlights
so
of the time.
Fun, for sure. You know, they just, everybody just acting like kids, busting it up. And just the relationship that even comes through that.
Yes.
You guys, anybody who knows you knows that you guys are just really fun people. Danielle, especially you. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Craig.
Cue the playlist.
Craig. Yeah, seriously. Craig, somewhat like me, is known to be a little more stoic. See, I believe your nickname is Grandpa on the team. Is that right?
Well, we don't have to share everything.
Hey,
that may or may not be because I have a tendency to fall asleep early. Like to go sleep early.
For all those reasons, just to affirm again, Danielle, who laughs at her own jokes more than anybody else.
100% necessary.
What part does that play in the way that you all have built team and built relationship, just having fun together?
We like to have hashtags or plumb lines that kind of keep our team all in the same line, all in the same wavelength. Even thinking in one of them is work hard, play hard, and rest well. So it is, I think, and we have felt over the years and have seen the value of making sure that happens with ourselves, with our team, and even with our nationals. And that's been like some of the best memories we've had is when we've just like let them cut loose. They've had fun and laugh at themselves too.
I think it's crucial. I think that we can't take ourselves too serious, and especially in this work where there's so much stress, not only from our work, but just living here can
that's
be
good.
Stressful.
Yeah,
I think that with our national partners, we've had similar experiences where just being able to do what otherwise would be kind of a corny game for us in the West, to do that with our partners and to see them laugh together has been just so much.
Yeah.
So much joy has been brought to us for that. We've also experienced that with our team. You know, we celebrate big things or ordinary things, and we get together often. We're big believers in recruiting teammates. Mm. We think that even especially in the singles conversation, that more is better.
Mm.
Yeah.
That the more you can get on your team, as if you get one or two singles on your team, they actually might feel more isolated, and it could be requiring more from the team leader.
Yeah.
And even the expectations can be really hard for everyone to meet each other's expectations.
Yeah.
But if you have three or four singles on the same team,
that's good.
Or kind of a rotation of folks coming and going, they're able to really work together.
Yeah.
And even some of those logistical challenges that we talked about a little bit ago, some of our single ladies have been able to go out and travel more because we had more options of people they could go, that it wasn't always just me or just Danielle. There were other people on the team. And they may have just been here for a month or two, but they were able to go out and learn.
That's good.
So we've been able to see that recruiting young folks onto our team, whether it's for 6 months or 2 years, it's been a best practice.
Yeah, that's good.
And highlighting those ladies to keep pushing the work forward as much as they can.
And young people are usually more fun than us, right? It's just fun to have them around.
It is, definitely.
Usually.
Refreshing.
Talking about you guys, right?
Yeah. At our age. I was including you in that group.
Okay. I wasn't sure who us was in that.
Well, ready for a topic change?
Sure.
We've been talking about singles a lot. Let's talk about moms for a minute. First of all, I'll say I know that on these trips, we are not the whole time only talking about how do you share the gospel or how do you disciple, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about kid problems and with our South Asian partners, I'm saying. Women are women everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about our families and our kids and everything. But it's very common on the field for moms in particular to wish they had more time in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What word of encouragement would you have for busy moms, as we like to say?
I'll first just affirm that I think that being a mom is a really big privilege and it's a joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the fact that we get to disciple our kids and invest in them is something that I rejoice in, I'm passionate about, and I encourage others to rejoice in that.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I will also say it's so worth like fighting or looking to create space in your day or in your week. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a better category, is just in your week somewhere to where you can step out and be in the harvest. And also with that, having the healthy expectations that maybe it won't be every day.
Yeah.
So look at my week together with my husband, maybe before the week starts on a Sunday or something. If it's going to be a regular time, fine. But look for a way in which you can be with a national or out among the lost. Mm-hmm. Because like we've touched on before, we were called to the field together. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely been seasons where we didn't do it well, and it felt like we were running in two different lanes,
yeah.
and that is not how God designed it. And so whenever I am actually communicating with my husband and looking for, hey, I would like to meet with this partner for an hour or 2 hours, or hey, he's traveling, I'm going to ask a teammate to invest in my kids or be with my kids so I can meet with my partner for that hour, it is so life-giving. Mm-hmm. So by me being able to be in the harvest like my husband is, it actually makes our marriage stronger. And we all know that a stronger marriage is actually security for our kids. Mm-hmm. So it's a gift for our kids that we do want to disciple and invest in by working together just to find that space and that time. And I would say with that, while I'm out with all my kids, also remembering I'm modeling for them.
Yeah.
And I've not always done that well, but I'll tell you the few times when I can just like think back in my mind that I just saw an opportunity and took it to share with somebody at a park or with even their friends when we were sitting there. I didn't know they were watching, but they came up after and like talked about it. And I thought, this is what discipleship is. So if I'm not doing this, if I'm not looking for ways to be out, whether it's separate from my kids for focus time or with my kids, I'm missing out on a big opportunity to disciple them in a pretty impactful way.
Yeah.
So it's worth the fight is what I would say, but also have healthy expectations of what that can be. And it's different for each woman. So that's why I'm not saying it should be this exact window.
Right. I think that's so good. We've tried to encourage women to have at least one thing a week.
Yes.
You know, one way to stay in touch with the work. It's a blessing for you. It's not a burden.
Agreed.
But I always want to say there's no camp of like, are you on the ministry or the motherhood camp?
Yeah.
I think it has to be said.
Yeah.
There's no camps.
Right.
They are both privileges.
Yes.
They are both awesome.
That's right.
And they don't necessarily have to like work against each other. Mm-mm. I'm thinking of when we would do ministry trips as a family when our kids were young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get all the awesome photos and you just look like the perfect little missionary family on Instagram. But I would come home and be like, I don't want to do that again for like a month. You know?
Or longer.
Yeah. So I don't want to paint a picture of like, oh, it's so rosy and perfect. Mm. But it is worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth the effort.
Yeah.
And it does a lot for our kids, for their own growth.
Mm-hmm. To that point too, Shani, I think that both within the national context, with ladies, with our teams, with our moms, with everybody really, we often celebrate the extraordinary, somebody who's like done something amazing, and we give a lot of notoriety to those who've seen a lot of success. But I think there's, especially in these categories we're talking about, it's important to celebrate the ordinary obedience, the ordinary successes, the everyday today. Like you went out and saw somebody come to faith. That's great. You know, you share the gospel with somebody, another family this week. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And the same goes for, especially with our nationals, celebrating the obedience of being a part of the missionary activity, the missionary task with our nationals.
Yeah.
Is training our nationals is to just celebrate the ordinary obedience often. And I think it just creates that culture of celebration, task going forward.
It's good.
Good. Craig, I was wondering if you could talk to Western men who are listening. Like, here's Craig's lessons learned after being in leadership specifically for this topic. The background for that question is, I know that we have learned a lot over the years. I think of the first single women that we supervise. I don't think I did a great job. So, will you just share man to man for a minute?
Yeah, I will. So I think that we also kind of fit in that category. We have supervised and had done team with a lot of single folks over the years. Many of them have been ladies, and we have made a lot of mistakes. We could have done things a lot better, and we're still trying to learn, and we're excited about team. We're excited about doing the work together. I think that's how God designed us to view the work, that we don't do it in isolation, but we have that stewardship of constantly empowering more teams here where we are and being a recipient to people who are being obedient to the Great Commission from where we came from. So just being that landing spot, I think is something that we have to, for some people, you have to actually train yourself to be excited about receiving new people. Hmm. About, even if you don't have a plan for them today,
yeah,
that there is room for more people to join your team and there's much work to be done.
Hmm.
So begin recruiting, even if you don't have a picture perfect idea of what this single lady or this group of ladies or this group of single folks or this family might be doing today, because once they get here, they oftentimes do open your eyes to the things that need to get done.
Yeah.
Whether it's just by you proactively thinking or them seeing things that you don't see. So one is just to own that stewardship of receiving and being a landing spot. Paul was constantly, if you look at his journeys, constantly adding people to his team, seeing both men and women as co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the leadership development focuses, especially on the second and third journey, on people being a part of his team.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely empowering locals to be the elders and those types of things, but Paul was constantly adding people to his team. I think that trains me a little bit about how I should be just thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I would say that with that, just casting vision for your people to come and to think a certain way and to ask questions a certain way. I've not done a good job of that in the past, of just saying, hey, here's the vision and here's our strategy. And these are the types of questions I want you to ask. You know, how can I help in this way? Sometimes we've had people come to the field and they've just said, what am I supposed to do? And that actually makes me think like, okay, what is the activity I can keep you busy with? It's kind of where my mind goes. But when somebody says, hey, how can I help? Or is that something I can help with? Or I heard you talking about this group of believers that you don't have time to get to. Can I go and do that? Those types of things are life-giving for a team leader. And so I would encourage, I'm not just speaking to team leaders here, but ladies to come out and say, hey, what are the things that you don't have time to get to that I would love to do for you? Asking those types of questions are the things that we've actually begun to train our new personnel to just ask that way.
And I would say, too, that it's necessary, like we said, with this patriarchal society, for him to be the door opener. So he may have access to a network, and it may be a network he does not have time or bandwidth to get to, but it is necessary for him to take a little chunk of time to connect this lady with the leader and say, hey, can they come and join? Just making that little bit of connection as a leader is really impactful, and he's showing that he puts trust in this person.
That's right.
So by doing that, they're going to follow suit. So for team leaders, just know that that is a necessary part of this culture, which some women coming out, that's a big thing for them to overcome. Like, I can't just go and do it. So they're humbling themselves to embrace this culture, just meet them where they're at and find a way to open that door to connect them to a partner and let them run with it.
I think what Craig said earlier is also helpful to remember, that some women will be more comfortable doing that than others, right? Some will go and visit a brand new church and somehow find a way to get a training scheduled, and then, or depending on the national partner.
And others might find it really too intimidating.
Too hard, and they want you to make a call first or, you know, set it up. So,
and that's often what I end up doing, is I would say, I'm going to make a call. I'm going to send a message to this guy that you're coming. He'll know that you're coming. And I can think of an example of how this just happened on one of our teams just recently, where we were talking with some folks who are now supervising some ladies that just came to the field and looking for ways to plug them in. And that's exactly what they did. They just sent a message to somebody they've been wanting to go visit. Those ladies went and visited them. The pastor was excited. They set up a training within weeks. After that first training, some people, ladies included, shared the gospel that week for the first time. So that was all opened
up by
ladies being proactive and by team leaders being envisioned of how can we mobilize ladies. And like you said, some ladies may not be willing to do that. So it may mean the team leader goes with them on the first Sunday.
You know?
And they come alongside of some of those ladies along the way. So that's an example of how that just happened recently.
I hope all the single listeners feel valued. We're sitting here talking about singles, but it's because we want to do a good job. We want to see singles equipped, and we've all been married a long time. And so I'm super thankful for our single teammates, especially when they tell me, okay, hey, listen, this is your missing perspective here. This is how it feels to be a single in this situation. And I'm so thankful for that honest feedback.
And just to see the great work that has been done. Mm-hmm. All of us sitting around this table mm-hmm. have all kinds of stories and testimonies of how single people have been used mightily of God. And mm-hmm. we've seen it. We've witnessed it in our work and on our teams. And it's just incredible. They do have opportunities that we don't. There is truth to what Paul talked about mm-hmm. in 1 Corinthians, that you do have availability absolutely. That we don't mm-hmm. and cares and concerns that we carry that they don't. Mm-hmm. And so just some of the blessing that that is for that season and for them to just make the most of where the Lord has them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have one last question. If you saw maybe some of our networks here in South Asia where it's mostly the men being involved in the work and maybe the women aren't quite as involved, what would you do in that situation?
Well, I would personally see if we could start a co-worker study.
What's that?
Nice. Tell us more about that.
No, but I say that, but all jokes aside, I mean it, because we've talked about how we can try to go along and model for them and show them. But honestly, we all know what's more powerful is God's word. So walking them through scriptures first and letting the Holy Spirit and God's word open their eyes to see how did Paul do it?
Yeah.
How many co-workers did Paul list, you know, in Romans 16 that were women? And throughout there, as he was constantly adding team, women were valued and a necessary part of that. Yeah. So I think that honestly is truly the best place to start. And if you can do that in a group with men and women together, that's the best. But take what you can get and run with it.
Man, that was unprompted, by the way.
It was audience unprompted.
I would just say that we found that the longer we've been on the field, that our voice is important with some of the locals, mm-hmm. but when there's nationals that have followed the processes we trained mm-hmm. and have seen the fruit of that,
yeah.
that has just been a so much more effective vision cast, even after us learning the language, and we think we're probably better in the language than we actually are in all these things, you know? But seeing a national brother who has brought his wife along in ministry mm-hmm. and them doing it together mm-hmm. and then her starting ladies groups, her seeing women come to faith, mm-hmm. her seeing women become effective disciple makers. Those stories need to be platformed in our trainings too, or in groups. So we've just seen the power of just an effective testimony locally mm-hmm. and trying to give voice to that. That's probably what I would do in that context, is make sure to just bring in one of my national partners that are really envisioned for training everybody, specifically ladies, and who's doing it well in the whole.
Yeah.
And one brother shared a testimony about how the women, like we said, there was a phase where we recognized the women were not being trained because they were limited or the time didn't work out, whatever. But we invested and helped catch them up to say in the process for them to be understanding how do they do EV and discipleship. Mm-hmm. Then the men came back and they were like, brother, we are so thankful. Again, it was a single lady who was consistent and able to go out, that she came and did that, because we're thinking about like who knows what. And then the next day we're going to be meeting with the family. But the wife is saying, okay, we're going to meet with this family. What story are we going to share next? Do you have all that? Like, she knew the steps, the process. And it was like just a good mutual accountability. And how much stronger for their marriage to be able to do that together was really cool. So those are the types of testimonies that we would love to platform, just their wins.
My perspective on that same story, I think, is really important, because I was there, and this leader of the church, not the pastor, the leader, he's basically a deacon, he wanted to meet with me when he found out I was in town. Okay. And so late at night after the training, I go over to where he is, and he grabs me by the thigh. You know, as they do here.
Yes, as one does.
And so what did I do? Serious, I just let him, you know, because I'm not going to be culturally
appropriate.
I did not hold his hand, but I did not shoo his hand away. But he just looked me in the eyes and he said, brother, thank you. Thank you for sending your
precious
ladies.
Wow.
Because our ladies are now holding us accountable to do the work.
That's awesome.
He said, before we knew what to do, but we didn't do it, thankfully.
Yeah. Wow.
But now that our wives know what to do, every night before we go to bed, they pick up their booklet, they look at it, they talk about where they're going to go this week, and we are healthier together. Mm-hmm. He just looked at me, and I'll never forget that moment.
Wow.
Man, that's it.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, I don't think we can have a better ending than that one. Thank you guys so much just for sharing with us who you are, your experiences, again, life that we've had together over the years. We just appreciate you guys. And I know that what you all have shared will be a blessing to people listening.
We appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been great.